We are now recording. We are now.
All right. Is Drew still yet to make his cup of tea?
Yeah,
yes,
he can go and get that.
That will take.
It's
that
bubbling
will take
away
seconds.
There.
Don't worry about
it'll
that.
Be ready. Yeah.
All right.
I'm
cool.
Sure we can.
What brand of tea are you on today?
Actually, you can. That's. Am I? Is it constantly?
No. I could just. It's
okay. Fine. I'll tell you when I get back from making it. I think it might be the Knightsbridge, but I'm not sure.
Knightsbridge. Yeah.
It's one of the big red boxes.
Well, Knightsbridge is the big red box if you have caffeinated. I have the big blue box decaffeinated.
I do have
the. He has the caffeinated.
I should probably go to decaf, but
I always wonder what that would do to your sleep, if it would speed it up, slow it down.
Yeah, I've always, in fact, since I was an infant, when I was a kid, like a little baby child, like 4 or whatever, I would sprinkle instant coffee on my cereal instead of sugar because I liked it.
Fucking hell!
So I've been caffeinated since I was. Baby. I get spoiled.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever done that. But
decaf Drew, that's the new
decaf
brand.
Drew. Well, I recently sort of adopted the decaf lifestyle.
There you go.
Oh, red label. Oh.
Diplomat red label. It's
no.
Fancy shit.
What is it?
No.
What shop's that?
Not
from?
Red label.
Aldi.
Ah, right. Okay.
No, I. Last time I was with Red Label, I always found that the bags broke too readily.
All right.
No, it's.
I can't say I've ever had any particular problems with any tea, but I don't drink much tea and I don't make tea for other people very often. So.
No. Well, I mean, what do you have in the kitchen?
Tetley, I think, because it's just like whatever brand the tiny little shop at the end of the road had, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Tetley's fine. Yeah, Tetley's a solid brand. Yeah.
I never used to like Tetley. I used to like PG, but. PG seems to have gone to shit, and Tetley's got good.
No, I'm sure it's Tetley. It's whatever.
Tetley's,
I was just saying,
Tetley's decent.
It's just whatever brand was in the little shop, you know.
Yeah.
But they're quite expensive when you've got the likes of Knightsbridge, which are like 90% as good.
Yeah, and about a tenth of the price.
A tenth of the price, yeah. Like so, I don't know. I'm starting to feel, and even the co-op own brand is pretty good, and that's like a tenth of the price too. Like.
I suppose it matters less if, like, I mean, I drink tea all day, every day. I drink like 30 cups of tea a day. So then the price matters. But if you have a cup or two a day, it probably, you know.
Probably doesn't matter, no.
Yeah.
But then if I was going for a cup or two a day, I'd get like proper tea. I was once given a tea from a tea shop called Smoky Russian, and that was just really nice. But, you know, if I was
that sounds like a type of hash to me. You know? What have you got? I've got some Smoky Russian.
Smoky Russian. It really
that
does.
Like
actually,
a thing you'd get at a brothel.
like the old rusty trombone.
There's this. There's Mr. Wayne. Mr. Wayne's in. Get him a Smoky Russian.
But, yeah, it was very nice.
Or pipe tobacco.
You
yeah. Mm. I wish I liked smoking the pipe. I don't. It's so
I had
much
a housemate
cheaper.
That did. It was so nice. Like the smell was lovely.
The smell's lovely if you have aromatics. If you have non-aromatics, the smell is less lovely, more cigar-y. Not as bad as cigars, but
I
in
think
that direction.
Pipe tobacco smoke smell always reminds me of like grandfathers and stuff. You know,
yeah.
Not my own grandfather didn't smoke, but you know, my cousin, you know, my grandfather's. And my cousin's grandfather, yeah, that's the easiest way to say that. Rather than going down the tree and up again. Or up the tree and down again.
I've got a standard mixture, which is an English blend. So these are non-aromatics, they're not flavoured. They're just the tobacco flavours. Standard mixture, that's an English blend, which does smell nice. Very like smoky, not doesn't smell like cherry or anything like an aromatic, but
I hate all those fake smells that you get with people's grapes and stuff.
That's a Elizabethan mixture. That's mainly Virginia tobacco, and that just smells very cigarette-y. Like nicer than cigarettes, but more towards cigarettes.
Oh, cigarettes, I never like the smell of cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Roll-ups are fine, but like cigarettes.
I mean,
even
I like
when
the
I was a smoker.
But...
They just smell chemically.
Well, it is. It's full of chemicals.
Yeah.
Full of all
I think
sorts of
shit. Hand rolled ones smell nicer. I think.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
But I like the smell of tobacco on people. You know, it's a nice smell to me. I know it's not to most people these days, but
no, it never was to me.
No, I'll tell you one thing I like about the vaping is that at least things smell a bit nicer when you go to places.
Yeah, it's still all very chemically though.
It's very chemically.
I'd say less chemically than
it's like what do you call them? You know when you get those air fresheners that you're supposed to open a little bit at a time, but people rip the bag open and it's like fucking, it's like chemical warfare.
Chemical.
Because there's a lady whose car, one of my mom's friends whose car I've been in quite a lot lately, and it's a sort of vanilla thing, and it hangs like at the passenger side right next to the face, my face, you know, it's like fucking hell.
I hate strong air fresheners, like any air freshener honestly in a house. Like absolutely disgusting. Like it just smells of it's cloying. I don't like it.
Do you mean like clinical, like a hospital kind of thing?
No, just it's like very strong perfume. I think it's an autistic thing, honestly. Just to me, like other people are like it, I think find it quite a mild smell.
Yeah,
like
smells, just, to smells me, it's are quite overpowering.
It's like cloying, and I feel like I can't breathe.
Mm. I got some wax melts that smell very nice.
Before I forget this, don't forget you can get in touch with us.
We did get an email.
We have feedback from the French Ghosty. Hello, I'm letting you know since you asked me to let you know that I don't accept the apologization. Apology, okay. He's French, let him off. Yes, it's a word. Oh, no, it's not. Of Mr. Chris Ware from the internet.
Well, may I? Even if it were a word, it wouldn't have a Z in it. It would have an S in it.
Exactly. He's supposed to obsess
over
the show.
Oh, my God, it's a real word. Fuck the...
What, it really is?
Noun, action of apologising, apology.
Yeah, but not with a Z in it. It's fucking not.
And it's got a fucking Z in it.
No, that's the American dictionary, that's why. That'd be a bullshit American word made up because they can't fucking get their words straight, you know?
Cambridge Dictionary. Apologise with the Z.
Cambridge. Fucking hell.
Absolute nonsense.
Okay. It's not,
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Cambridge, yeah, exactly. Check the Oxford OED and I'll vaguely, grudgingly accept.
All right, here we go. Oxford Learner's Dictionary.
No, that's not the... Oh, Jesus.
Okay, fine. I'm going down the search
OED. OED. It's OED or OED. Nothing. None of these jokers from Cambridge or... Actually, that's not fair because most of the friends I've got that went to one of the Oxfords went to Cambridge, actually. So there you go.
Oh, mine are more Oxford.
Okay, all right, fair enough. It's not in the OED.
Thank you.
Not a word.
Anyway, the next thing he says, he's supposed to obsess over the show. He missed it because he's been having something that people call a life. Do better, Chris.
Yes. Yes. I think
we can all agree on that.
Do better, Chris. Do better.
Do better, Chris. That's
less pussy, more TV. Come on.
Okay.
All right.
You know. Yeah. At the moment I agree with that completely.
We did get dick confirmation on Chris though. So I'll leave it there, but...
What?
You're talking about that chart
you sent. I'm happy. I'm in the A zone for that, so I'm quite happy. And you know, going by fairly recent experience.
I enjoyed it a great deal.
You enjoyed it.
I have no idea what my circumference is.
I've never measured.
No, I've never measured. No. But you can just sort of work it out with your hand, and then put your hand against the ruler.
An ex did measure mine in relation to a Pikachu I had. One time. That's the only time it's been measured.
Okay.
Three Pikachus.
I wish. This Pikachu's like this big.
Big Pikachu.
I don't wish. That would be ridiculous.
No, imagine having a 3 foot dick. I was just like...
That would be... That'd just be frightening
like
everybody.
Like a meat along.
Yeah. You'd just be dragging it along like a tail.
If it was a meter like erect... What would it be like? It'd probably be like what, like two thirds of that flaccid, something like that.
Something I don't know. It depends if you're a shower or a grower, right? But you're not going to be like 3 inches flaccid and then two like a meter erect. I guess that would be
fucking cool.
That'd be weird.
That's a party trick. That is.
Like, the lady, be very disappointed, and then you get erect. And you're like, oh.
And then it goes even further, and she's like,
never ending dick. Yes.
That sounds like Boris Johnson.
I was just waiting for you to go into that.
Mm. I did receive a private communique from Ghosty as well.
All right.
Too much politics in the last one, apparently.
Right, okay.
Or too much, he said too much American politics. I thought it was mainly British, but...
I thought it was mainly British, yeah. But we did
it was like,
some American politics, so that's too much.
Yeah.
So back to the dick and fart stuff then, is that? Hang on, I need a light because it's... The light outside is just...
It's
all unpredictable, so I need something with a bit more...
It's a dark time of year.
Yeah, yes it is. I've not had a good day all round, actually. I'm just feeling shit today. Can't quite get... You know, some days you just feel like you can't get a grip of the day. It seems to be slipping around. Yeah. It's like that. Absolutely.
So The Expanse.
Well, you reckon there's not much to this episode, you said. Yeah,
it's just
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with
slugs.
It as well.
But killer slugs.
Oh, they've come into it this right, because I haven't seen this. I've seen the next couple of episodes enough to remember that in detail, but the where's the thing?
So The thing to think about is, why is Holden immune to the slug-based infection?
No, wait a minute. This is a different thing.
What?
The slugs, the slugs and the eye thing are different. Eyes.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
They might be related and biochemically, but
it's immune to the eye fungus. Yeah. Do you have a theory as to why Holden is immune to the eye fungus?
Oh, I wish I did.
I thought that's what your theory was going to be.
No, I just... There's presumably a reason. Is it just coincidence? Has he just not been...
There is a reason. It's... I will... Mild spoiler. It's not a very exciting reason.
Yeah.
It's nothing... Yeah, don't get your hopes up about that one.
Yeah.
But... I think this setup of they're down in a dark place, they're going blind, and there's neurotoxin slugs. I think that is a great setup for like a horror sci-fi episode that they really don't deliver on.
Yeah, they just don't.
Deliver on the Western side of it as well.
No, I think this is an under-delivered season. Yeah, I'm not. I knew I didn't enjoy this season very much going in, and the more I watch it, the more I'm confirmed in that, and I'm looking forward to just getting on to the next season when it gets back to more what I recognize as The Expanse.
Yeah, because it's like... It's not like it's awful insofar as like the characters are kind of good, you know. Even Murtry, like, is a bad guy. He's kind of like, he's a very believable bad guy in a lot of ways.
It's fine TV. Like, it's perfectly adequate. If this was a show I was watching, I'd watch it. But it's not up to the standard of the rest of the Expanse.
Yeah, exactly. Expanse has set a very high bar for itself, basically.
Yeah. We also see the return of the ginger kid that you don't like, and now he's going.
Yeah,
blind,
I was going to say that's why we remember him coming, staying in it for a wee while, because his eyes are starting to go as well. Yeah,
yeah.
And orange and green doesn't go great together.
Well, it's kind of Christmassy, or like peas and carrots, you know.
It's peas Celtic. And carrots.
Celtic football.
Celtic, yeah.
I like orange and I like green, but when they go together, they just look a bit, peas and carrotsy, you know.
I mean, Celtic's green and white.
Celtic. I was going to say.
Yeah, the actual uniform is.
Celtic would never have orange.
No, they wouldn't have orange. No. Sorry, I'm mixing two things. Yeah, no, it's a yellow is the green and yellow is the alternate thing.
Surprised Rangers aren't orange, honestly.
No, they're very blue.
Blue
noses.
So these slugs, and then they look up, and then they realise, oh, the whole place is like
it's
loads
covered
of slugs.
With them,
covered in fucking neurotoxin slugs that die. Yeah. You die several seconds after them touching you. Yeah,
which is quite worrying, especially in the dark when you're going blind as well.
Yeah,
but it underdelivers the concept is the problem. Like, I don't at this point, I just get out, just get on with it.
It's
kind of a holding pattern, really.
Everything that's happened in these, we've watched seven episodes, and that would have been a great two episodes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Two or three episodes worth of stuff at best. Yeah,
it's so crisp.
So they're trapped in this in the structures. They have a limited amount of food. Limited.
Yeah, that's that's going to say that's the other big pressure that's on them, apart from finding the slugs and the eye thing, is their supplies. That we did sort of touch on that at the last episode, and now it's becoming more obvious to everybody. And the it's the RCE people are basically the RCE people are basically setting up to defend their supplies. But Chandra's trying to keep Murtry under control and say, look, there's a lot of them. don't start anything when we can, defend ourselves rather than.
Also, they're all going to go blind, so how's that going to work,
Well, that changes their mind a bit, doesn't it? When they get to that.
I kind of like the Christmas lights that they kind of put up.
Yeah,
the kind of,
Christmas.
I assume
quite YouTuber.
Yeah. Or teenage girl's bedroom, anyway. Christmas lights and teddy bears.
Well, they're quite. Nice.
Are you trying to give us a picture, or?
I could give you a picture.
I was waiting for you to put it in your background. You see, because that's what you usually do when you've said something like that.
Oh, okay.
I did have that time.
You did, yep. See.
Oh well, okay, yeah. All right. I shall not disappoint.
Well,
there we go.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah,
quite Deus Ex-y.
Yeah, yeah, not at all like a teenager's bedroom.
No, actually, no.
Well,
no,
Christmas
not,
lights
no.
are though. No, you it's said more, Christmas lights, like, and then he said YouTuber, and I said, well, Christmas lights is more like teenage girl's bedroom.
More, really. More like 1980s concept interior design.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah,
yeah. But
light tubing, I suppose.
I suppose so. Murtry started to become a little bit more humanitarianly minded when he started to become infected.
Yeah,
with
exactly. Yeah. Once he realised everybody was getting the same thing, it's like
Well, we did learn something of Murtry's motivations this episode, which is kind of interesting. Go on.
The structures that they're in or something like that would be worth billions to...
Yeah, basically, if he manages to get the belters off there, he's getting a 1% cut of everything that goes out of there, which would be potentially billions, But, so, I mean, I assume some inflation has happened, so billions there in that world is probably a couple of hundred in our world.
He said it like billions, like no, like
it's our billions,
It's but I mean, really, because if there's like 1,300 habitable systems, isn't there going to be lithium on others?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would think that's going to crash the price a bit for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing about lithium is not so much that it's not so much as a tradable commodity as much as it's an actual usable one. It's the same with the stuff that they know is in Ukraine, all the precious metals and stuff, because that's all for electronics and stuff. That's important.
But still, more of it, the price falls.
Well, I guess
still still operating under
They still have to bring it a very long way. building sort of production plants and things in other places as well,
But you would think, But I mean, it's even if the price goes down because there's more of it around, it's still valuable, I guess. It's still a lot of money, probably.
Yeah, 1%. Yeah. But that's really about. Is that really about it in the main chunk of the episode?
You've drawn the outline of it. You haven't got into any detail. I mean, there's a few details. Obviously, we're talking about
the Smavrasarela stuff.
Meaning this stuff.
The university girl.
Yeah, there's other stuff. There's other stuff happening in the episode. Mm. I thought you meant is that out for what's happening in this part.
Hang on, what's the university girl?
She's working on the barb and.
And
Natalie is. Teaching, is it Natalie? Hang on a minute, I'm drawing a blank.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. You're talking about
Naomi
from Felsia.
Yeah, Naomi. Sorry, I got my end names mixed up. Sorry.
Careful.
So Naomi
Naomi goes across to the barbapicola. No wonder they just call it the barb. It's a lot easier. They go over to the barb She speaks to her over a thing to explain how thing. To yeah. how to you know make the batteries last longer, essentially.
And Naomi
assures her that she's a bit nervous because she's dealing with something real rather than any sort of simulation or classroom. Naomi says, "No, this is the best way to learn," and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, she seemed pretty excited and engaged and good education.
And it's like Naomi's trying to fix the relationship between her and her mother a little bit as well,
Yeah, she finally chats with her mother and realizes that she's not the monster that her stupid idiot father makes her out to be.
Yeah. And also, she's also learning that maybe, she
life can, isn't so black and white or whatever.
Yeah, she can learn her dreams that she can. Mm. She can develop her knowledge without having to go the routes that she's always thought were necessary.
Mm-hmm.
She could stay on Illis and still learn how to be just like Naomi, who is, to be fair, one of the best engineers in the belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as far as we know, we've got a very limited sample.
I mean, she's on the Medina Station.
That's true, that's true. She was very valued.
If she could have been replaced, they probably would have.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I'll take that. I was going to say something. I forgot. Oh, I did have something to say. So one of the ships is called the Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Is that baby talk too, Drew?
That's not baby talk.
Pazuzu.
That is. It's a Pazuzu. Pazuzu, which I looked up, is a Babylonian and Assyrian sort of demonic god figure who. Has a sort of dog-like head, not really a dog head, but dog-ish, wings, and a penis with a snake's head.
Does that snake's head have sentience?
What?
He's just describing peanut.
So
does the snake have its own like personality? Is it a wise-cracking penis snake?
We'll assume yeah.
Hey, what am I doing down here? Let me out for air, will you?
But it's just muffled.
The Pazuzu is the ship.
Pazuzu, I hardly know her. Sorry.
Sorry. So the Pazuzu is the ship that they think Marco is on, and I mean, it seems to me, I'm with I'm more with I think it's Kamina that's was it which one of them is it? I can't remember which one of them is more believing that it's real, whether it's Kamina or
but what's Ashford, real, sorry?
That it's not some sort of trick that Marco's on that ship, the Pazuzu.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
I think it looks too obvious, and one of the two of them says it does seem doesn't seem a bit too obvious, and it's like I think it's Kamina that says that, and then Ashford says, this is the last episode, Ashford says everybody makes a mistake eventually, but it is almost like he's mugging at the camera in the background, which makes me think, video shopped, whatever the equivalent of photoshopping for videos is, video shopped himself into the background and so, or something,
Every series has a down season, don't they? Yeah, every everyone makes mistakes. I kind of want to be engaged in the Marco thing, but it's like, are they going to get him? Are they not going to get him? What's he going to do?
Well, a lot in this season should, like, the being blind with neurotoxin slugs, that should be exciting. The stuff happening in orbit where they could all Crescent's Planet. That should be exciting, but none of it feels exciting. The Marco stuff.
Yeah, none of it.
We don't really know. We've met Marco once, but that I don't think that scene did a very good job. If we're supposed to be fearful of what he might do, it doesn't really deliver that because he just comes across as like a bit of a rogue, like a pirate, like a Robin Hood, charismatic. We've got the Naomi stuff. Like
we know things that Naomi has told us about.
Yeah, but even that isn't like, you know, it's not the most damning stuff in the world. I don't feel like I have a huge reason to care enormously about Marco.
Well, he did attack Earth. We've seen that.
But so did the Black Sky.
True.
I mean, he only blew up like a satellite station or whatever.
No, he was aiming a ship at Earth's early warning system.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is quite important.
Because
that's how they know that, like, you know, ships or asteroids or comets or whatever are coming towards the planet. It's the planetary defense.
I mean, it pales in comparison to what the Indians have done to the Belters.
I'm not saying it didn't, but this is the thing, is we do have a lot of sympathy for the Bell anyway throughout the show. You get to see more of it.
But yeah, my point is more that this stuff should be exciting and isn't.
Yeah, it should be. There's a lot there that should.
In previous seasons, like when the behemoth was coming at Eros, that was exciting. Yeah. It was really exciting to watch. I was invested, cared about the characters. This, it's very flat. In comparison.
I don't know what it is that's. I can't. I mean, somebody who knows about production or editing or whatever might have a better way of explaining it all. But yeah, all the stakes are high, but we don't. We're not, you know.
I think
we're describing it because you kind of have to make. You know, you're sort of describing it to yourself to mark out the path of what's actually going on, rather than feeling it and noticing it for yourself, which is what we did previously. We would the show would tell us what was going on, rather than us having to interpret what's going on. You know, and build it for ourselves from a bit of dialogue. I think that's maybe it. There's maybe too much dialogue, and the action is kind of. Oh no! I mean, no. It's not even the balance.
The dialogue per se, but it does feel like this season is more of a character piece, and it's like a little bit interesting.
It's not interestingly so though. Like the first season was that, but it was interestingly so.
But Game of Thrones did this a little bit, where it's just like they made the show about the characters, not about.
That was the plot.
And I feel like with Avicerella, this isn't about the consequences of the election. This is about her winning the election. This isn't about what they're doing to, you know, down the mine shaft or whatever. This is about how they're going to overcome their interpersonal differences, and then the end will just happen, you know.
Two things. First, I said last episode, I think part of it is it's too much in one place. It's too much on the planet, and therefore the planet stuff is going too slowly, and we haven't got the other stuff to be interested in so much. And also, Avicerella is like a different character than in the previous season.
Yeah.
It's like a dumber version of Avicerella. It's like a more stereotypical politician version of... She's become President Man. And maybe that's partly a commentary on The Office, but I think...
We could give them that as an out.
But like she grew and developed as a character. Like she learned about the Belters. She learned we're all in it together. And now she seems to have reverted.
And now she's
forgotten all that. And we're getting her scenes are very much like not West Wing, because West Wing's got its problems. But like you know the dumber shows that tried to be the West Wing. It's that kind of political, like the campaign managers have come in and I'm a different kind of politician, you know, and I'm going to run things my way. It's like it's that. Very cliched kind of political drama stuff, which is dumb by the standards of the show, I think.
Yeah.
What I find to be a bit like her husband brings them in for some reason, as if he would know the best people to hire.
Yeah, the husband is a completely different character to previous. I mean, the actor's changed.
Yeah, but the character's different as well. Yeah,
the character's completely changed.
He doesn't seem to have the same warmth or anything. He seems like a politician.
Well, in previous seasons, he was like a house husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially, he took care of the kids. You know, he was the more the more warm, maternalistic, more grounded, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this, he's a hard-nosed lecturer, obviously got political something. And then there's a scene where he brought in these experts. She gets pissed off with the experts. He just very quickly turns to, well, I'm leaving then. In a kind of weird, like, I don't know. It just feels weird. It feels
like they've got a lot of space to do a lot of the things they're trying to do, but they're not using the space very well.
They're rushing everything.
They're dawdling about for ages and then going, oh shit, we've got to resolve this little point. And then, like you say, he just suddenly turns around. And I feel like they could have given us more time on the Abba Sorella stuff.
Yeah.
To let it breathe a bit.
Well, the Abba Sorella stuff, how about throw away all this campaign bullshit, like have that in the background, and then have conversations between Holden and Abba Sorella talking about
the camp, their positions.
I know, but like find a way. It could even be asynchronous.
Have his message come in and her.
Yeah, and then we could care about more about what Holden's, because I don't really get a sense we know what Holden's. He's very sort of sort of changeable. This season, he makes decisions on a whim.
I was going to say it's like he's flying by the seat of his pants.
Not in a fun way.
Not in the way that he used
very
to.
Arbitrary.
Do. Not in a reaction to the situation way, where he reacted according to his personality, mixed with the situation.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like he's just reacting to every event without. Like when he fires
the missile at the thing that's moving, like
that's
an option, but he just immediately goes to that and does it.
There's no,
which seems odd.
You know what's the problem, I think, is with this, especially with the Holden stuff, is there was always a four-way conversation with the crew, and that's having them split up and working as, like, you know, in groups of one or two with other people and not the Ross and Ante crew working together. Yeah. You know, it's okay, sometimes him and Amos are together like they are at the camp and everything. Sometimes Naomi and Alex are together, and you know, but it seems like everything else they're doing, almost everything they're doing, is away from the Ross and Ante crew entirely. And he's just given orders, or they're just presenting solutions to a problem, you know, to hold them from a distance.
There's been situations like that before, like for example, when they're on Eros and stuff, and it didn't. I think it just everybody feels out of character in this season.
It's like they've taken the whole thing and. It's like I was talking about earlier about this day. I'm having a bad day because it feels like I just can't quite get a grip on it. And that's what this whole series four feels like. It's like they're right around the edges of what the expanse is, but they're not quite getting the. It's like the gears are slipping a bit every so often. It's not meshed together and working the way it does normally. And it's weird. It's really
weird.
It's quite unsettling in a way.
It is because
you're like, oh my god. I can imagine they lost some people at this point in the show, and like, but series five
it
and
actually
six
feels
is,
like
pick it up
I know,
again,
I know you've watched I know you've watched Battlestar Galactica, Hamish. It feels like the Battlestar Galactica webisodes.
But they had a series like this. Was it four full series now? And there's that series where it just all sort of. Stretches one or two story threads out the whole series when they could have been two or three episodes worth of stuff, and then they've got weird flashback episodes and everything. That's when I do hate flashbacks, when it's like, because they have a thing in not to moan about another show as well as this one, but they have this thing about Battlestar Galactica later on in it where they have all these flashbacks to things that happened on New Caprica, you know, the place they were at for a year. Why did they make one episode jump a year?
Yeah.
Why not actually have the next few episodes be the stuff that they were... You know, it fits better. You know, I think, Chris, have you seen all the Battlestar Galactica, the new series?
I think
you would lose the interest in it because that's they massively overuse flashbacks at that point. But it's new stuff. It fits in as well. It's not like they're not retconning anything or anything like that. That's the point. They're not even doing that. or explaining things that you would be wondering about. They're just like filling out the story that they could have put at the beginning of that series instead of...
I mean, that was one of those shows like Lost where they had no idea where they were going with it and they just sort
The ending is not super satisfying, but it's actually...
I actually like the ending, but I get why people don't.
Yeah, watching it rewatching it, I've not had as harsh an opinion on some of those episodes we've talked about. You know, there's other things that happen as well. It's like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought.
I was looking at trying to catch up with Lost, but to see if there's a way of doing it without the flashbacks. And apparently there's a fan-made re-edit called Chronologically Lost that puts the entire show in chronological order, and you can just start at where the show chronologically begins on the island. And then just watch just the island bits.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's nah. That show just shat on its audience. It just did. There's no way that show can.
Do you know? But the thing is, the show's quite old, and people still talk about it. Although they admittedly talk about how much it shat itself.
Yeah, but I think they probably remember things being better than they were because. There's stuff like the monsters, the polar bear monster thing that just disappears and is bullshit. There's the stuff about the numbers thing, which comes, you know, just they just drag that out and drag it out and drag it out. And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it commits the same sin as well that the Walking Dead does. And it just repeats the same Jeopardy situations between different groups of people with a couple of different groups of people. You know, there's like an antagonist faction that comes up in The Walking Dead, and then they find another one who basically is the same thing, but they're in a different they're in a different location because they've had to move for supplies or whatever, and it's just like, oh, it's the same fucking story over and over again, and it's not as in, you know.
It's so interesting. I think The Walking Dead, you can get away with it because that's kind of what you want.
Yes, it's not. Yeah, they could have ended it a bit sooner, I think.
It's an inherently formulaic show, so just new baddie each season, that's kind of fine. But it went on too long.
Given how much they raised the stakes with the whole Negan thing, that was fucking heavy, heavy stuff.
Mm.
And he was like full on evil, you know.
Yeah.
You know, throwing people into furnaces and all that sort of thing, you know, bashing their brains.
But then gets rehabilitated. Yeah. He's likable. He's like, not to talk too much about The Walking Dead, but I do actually like the character of Negan because he is completely evil, but also likable, which is kind of interesting.
I just, we have very different ideas about crime and punishment. I know that one. That's one of the few places where I veer to the right. But that's, you know, maybe that's just, you know, having been a victim of some of it, I've got my own opinions, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just seems. It seems like I think the thing. This might go for quite a few shows. Actually, I'll stick to The Walking Dead as the example, but it might go for quite a few shows. Is when they build up a bigger and bigger ensemble cast.
Mm.
It seems like they don't have the space or the continuity happening with all the characters.
Yeah.
So some people are just left flapping around, and then they've got to come back into it with some sort of reaction to the, like, oh, Negan's now one of us and wandering about with us. And it's like, what? The last time I saw him, he was a fucking sadistic murderer. You know, it's like, you know, and there's that example, but I think other plot lines and other characters could apply to that from other shows where they've built a bigger and bigger cast over time. You know, and people come back to it that's been out of it for a while, and suddenly they've
which usually The Expanse does well because it's got its core cast, and then you get per season you get a couple of extra characters and you follow them, but they only last a season or two usually.
Yeah,
you know?
They do it well. Yeah, they do it well, and they don't leave people flapping. Whereas this season, they haven't really done it very well.
I think they've got too few focus characters this season.
They've thrown in a lot of what are clearly series season specific characters.
Mm. Yeah, Murtry and Martin are the sort of obvious ones. Dr. Lady. Yeah, well, yeah, and the other people around those two situations, you know.
But really, in terms of focus characters, really, you've got little bits with Abbasarella, but they're minor. Really, you've got Holden and you've got Bobby, and that's it.
Yeah,
two focus characters.
Yeah. Yeah, because like even Amos is sort of hanging about, isn't he?
Yeah, they've woefully underused Amos this series.
Yeah.
He's still had some good funnies and things, and character-wise, he's still had a few... You know, a bit of growth and change, and you know,
he's still great when he's on screen because he's always great. He is but great, it's yeah.
just nobody's using him really.
It's a very nothingy. It's a very nothingy season, and even the stuff that should feel exciting doesn't.
Yeah, as we said. Yeah, you've just had a planet basically half blow up on you. You're inside an alien structure taking shelter. You've got
this should be so much more interesting.
You've got some weird disease effect in your eyes. You're running out of supplies. You're two disparate groups of people trapped together. You've got this neurotoxin slug thing. You know, there's so much there. Yeah. It's like they're just throwing so much in there without building any of it up.
And also the pacing of it, I think, is weird. Like there's huge expenses of nothing happening, and then here's some really exciting stuff, and it's like, oh wait, what? I've got to wake up for the exciting stuff, but I'm not invested because you're not really built it up.
Yeah, it's not built it up the same way. Eros, for example, you mentioned the Eros incident as an example of previous series where it does do it well, and that does build it because you see what happens on Eros, you see everybody's reactions to what's happening on Eros.
And you have slow episodes building up to it, but they do build it up.
But they do.
They're setting the stage.
Yeah, they're not.
Whereas the slugs came out of nowhere. It's just
we could have had more time. It's like what they do normally is they build like little bricks up of a story thread, and you get something like a little apex. What they do with
I think
is,
it doesn't help. It doesn't help. What Chris said previously, actually, it doesn't help that it's a fucking boring planet. Like, visually boring.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't feel alien structures.
It's like they've only thrown the effects budget into the structure itself. The inside of that, you know. But about the bricks thing, what I feel like, don't let me, you know, I've got a metaphor and I'm going to goddamn tell you it. So you've got your, you know, what they've done in the past is they've built on things and you've had like a little pyramid of bricks, right? And you've got there and everything's held together and you're happy to get to the peak, you know, the Eros things being the example. But then what they've done with this one is just drop a brick every now and again in random places. There's nothing and then you go, oh yeah, that was meant to happen and that was meant to be important.
It's all very sudden. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to immediately care about this thing now. But now you're putting that aside for three episodes and I'm supposed to care about this, and I kind of care about that, but then what about this? And it's just very disjointed.
It's all over the place.
It's got very little going on, and yet it feels disjointed and confusing.
Because they throw these exciting moments in without the pacing building up. Yeah.
And I think they're failing. Yeah. Sorry, go on, Chris. Go on, sorry.
This is a bit weirdly specific to me, but also one of the things that kind of hits a little bit harder than it should do is that as I'm watching through this, as we're doing this now. Season 2 of Severance is coming out episode by episode, which is a mystery box show, which is tremendously engaging.
I need to start season 2 of that.
Have got to get into season 2.
I'm going to wait till it's more done. I've only just started the one. What's the one you said, Drew?
Succession.
Succession, yeah. See, I wonder I was thinking last night, that might be a good one for us to do. Because there's only four series of it. Mm-hmm. I've not seen it apart from the first episode.
Yeah,
and I could I was thinking this is the kind of show that we could discuss on a space.
I'm up for doing Succession next. Yeah, Chris.
Okay, I guess.
Have you seen
four
it?
Seasons. I haven't seen it.
So two of us haven't seen it. I think it would lend itself to this kind of show. Yeah. Just
two
as we're having
virgins coming through.
Pardon.
Two space virgins coming through.
Well, that's Did I tell you where that came from? Yeah.
Hang on a minute. You did tell me where it came from.
Right, I couldn't remember if I had or not. Yeah.
What's it from? Is it?
I remember.
Shit. No. What was it? Deep Space Nine or something?
No, it's from Alien.
That's the one. Romulus.
Romulus. You're Romulus. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. I think what they're failing to do. It's just sort of clicked for me. In previous seasons, even in season one, which is, I think, the first half of season one is very slow. But you care about stuff because you're seeing it through not just Miller's eyes, but his emotional response to things. You're following his emotional journey through things, where, and you know, and late, and on Eros, it's whole, you know, sometimes it's Holden's emotional response to things, and to a lesser extent the other characters. But this, I've got no, this is kind of what I was trying to get at earlier and what we were saying, but I've got no sense of Holden's emotional state in this season.
I don't know
what he's feeling about things.
Yeah.
And so we don't have that. Basically, it feels more distant. It feels like we're not involved so much.
Yeah, it's a lot more third person. Mm.
Yeah.
You feel distance from all of it, and that's what's making. Yeah.
Particularly that first season, and this would fit with it being a film noir thing. That first season, the Miller stuff, it almost feels like there's a voiceover. It almost feels like Miller is narrating. He's not. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Yeah, I know what you're saying. You can imagine that in your head. Yeah.
But that's not present here. How
good Tom Jane is as an actor, isn't it? He really nails that.
But that applies to the other character stuff though as well.
Oh yeah, the other characters and the actors season. Are good. Yeah.
But this season, I don't know what anybody thinks of that.
Yeah, Murtry's. I mean, you say that you think Murtry's a not bad character, but I don't think he is. I don't know.
I almost, to be honest, every other episode I seem to flip my opinion on him, to be honest, because sometimes he just comes across as, I'm just going to be evil for the sake of being evil. Yeah. I'm the bad guy of the week, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, like, I think he has an engaging enough screen presence that I sometimes overlook it.
Yeah, that's Byrne Gorman. Mm. That's what I'm saying. That's Byrne Gorman being a good actor that they've brought in to do it. But I don't think they've given him a very rounded picture of who the character should be to start with, and he's just reading it as he sees the episode, as you know.
I think the character, in terms of the writing of the character, I think he is just a bit all over the place each episode. He's
convenient for what the situation requires, almost.
And it's not usually that's nuanced, because moment to moment, sometimes he's a little bit sympathetic or empathetic, and other moments he's very cold and evil, essentially, and with other characters that you can see why that is the case moment to moment. With him, it just seems very, you know, flip a coin. He's a dick. Arbitrary, what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a dick all the time, isn't he? The only time when he's okay is when it's self interest.
There's been moments when he seemed to have a little bit of, and his relationship with woman, Amos's girlfriend, you can see some humanity in that.
Yeah, they've obviously come through a lot together, and he's saved her life in the past, and he trusts her above all the rest of them, I think.
So he's obviously worried about her closeness to Amos and all that kind of stuff.
He's never been
like relatable or anything.
Yeah, that's the only human side of him we've seen, really, is that it's, you know, one of his best friends has got somebody from an opposing side, if you like, relationship.
I suppose, like, being very generous to him, he did sort of, you know, he's arriving at this planet and immediately gets blown up.
That would make you a bit grumpy, I think.
I think that would have been more interesting, because the problem with that is when they're coming down, before they get blown up, he's a dick already. We're gonna steal all this shit from them. If he'd been nicer during that bit, and then he gets blown up, and that makes him pissed off and hates the belt, that would have been way more interesting.
Given you a bit of what's the word I'm looking for?
Sympathy, empathy.
You would see where the impetus for his actions came from, as it were, but. He's a bit too cartoon villain, really.
The thing is,
Byrne Gorman doesn't do that kind of acting. He does the extreme parts of it really well, but when he does a character, he does those kind of characters a lot, but he's not a cartoon villain sort of actor. So I think that's what's wrong, is some of it is not what he wants to be doing, and there's not enough dialogue or enough direction or something, or the dialogue's not quite right, and he's just...
I will say, jump in if you think this is too spoilery, jump in and shut me down. But while I do, I much prefer the next couple of seasons, or however many seasons there are. I think they're great. Yeah. I think the next season for me is almost as good as the really good stuff. But Marco is a villain, and he's cartoony as well. I don't enjoy the Marco stuff.
It's not as good as it could be, especially, again, given how good the actor is. Because that stuff with with Ashford is fucking brilliant. That is a really good.
That's one of the best bits that's been of this series. I'm looking ahead to what
I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about. Don't say too much.
But again, he feels like he's acting in the wrong show. It's not bad acting or anything, but it seems like he's acting differently to everybody else, and his acting is more comic booky. It's acting for a different show.
I think he's better earlier on, especially and he's build up episodes like the ones we've had.
Yeah, because that bit with Ashwood was great. Yeah,
that was really, really good. Yeah. And again, the actors, you know, the actor pulled it off brilliantly, and he gets the sort of I think if this series had been more compressed and we'd got from this to the payoff of the story threads that we've got a few story threads, not as many as the other series really, but we've got a couple of story threads from this series that go right through to the end of the series completely, including, you know, Marco is a, you know, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that Marco's going to be a big villain at some point.
They're clearly building him up
quite obviously. But if they had gone from the more intense character stuff that he did, like in this series, and had a bit more of that maybe spread throughout the series, he doesn't really come into it as a person much, does he? He's a target that they're chasing more than anything else.
I think that might have helped, actually, have him be a focus character for this season, have him be the other third.
That would have been much better. Yeah, they could have filled in the backstory of what happened with the. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't matter to the audience whether we knew that ship was really destroyed or not.
Yeah,
we knew. We would know that Drummer and Ashford genuinely believed it was anyway. You know, they believed that part of it, so it doesn't matter. You know,
the stuff in this episode where the UN sends like a marine team, or whatever, a thought team. Like, having seen that from Marco's point of view, him setting that up trap and like blah, that could have been cool.
Because the way you see it, they just jumped to it.
You've not seen a ton of Avicerella. There's not been a ton of build up for this. It's just they send a team and then it's a trap, and you're like, oh, okay.
Well, those Marines are going to die then. Okay. Well,
yeah, that bit could have been so much more exciting.
We've got all these ingredients, but they've not cooked them. There you go. I knew I could come up with a simpler metaphor.
It's a salad.
Yeah, but it's a salad with things that shouldn't be served raw.
Broccoli salad.
Well, that just shouldn't be served at all. You know.
I'm going to go for a piss. This is too controversial for me, so I'll sort this out and I'll be right back.
He's got strong feelings about broccoli, folks. We shouldn't have upset him.
I love broccoli. I quite like broccoli. Do you know broccoli in the air fryer? Kind of nice.
No, I don't like broccoli at all. I will sometimes use it as an ingredient in something I'm cooking, like just the fluffy bits at the end. But I couldn't. I can't use broccoli as a. No. I don't like things that. I don't like food that's more than one thing at the same time, and that's why I don't like cauliflower as well.
Because cauliflower is amazing.
I know, but again, it's probably an autistic thing. It's like a fluffy thing at one end, and then suddenly it's like a rooty thing, and you're like, no, stemmy thing rather, and it's like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. That's why.
What about Brussels sprouts?
Most of those green things smell like piss to me. And they taste it tastes wrong to me. Like peas, I had peas today, but there were a kind of peas obviously that I don't normally eat because I had peas when I was in it. And I was like, no, I'm not liking these peas. They taste off to me. And I remember something my mum used to do. She used to have one of those like pots where you had two bits on top. So you'd like put hot water in the bottom and steam through the vegetables. And one time she put I think it was broccoli and Brussels sprouts or something on the bottom part and carrots on top. And the carrots were just horrible. I just couldn't eat them. I couldn't eat them at all. And it's something in the green stuff. Apparently some people have that as a taste thing.
Bitterness versus not. In green stuff. Yeah.
So what are your top five favourite vegetables?
Jesus, five? carrots I like carrots.
Carrots.
What's that, Drew?
I was gonna do mine while you were thinking, but go on.
Yeah.
No, if you've got yours, go.
I don't know if I've got five. Carrots and potatoes, but people go, oh, potatoes, that's in the but it's still a fucking vegetable. Sweet corn. Sweet corn.
Oh, sweet corn, yeah, great one.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could give you five. I eat peas, but only... that's kind of like a force myself to have something green in. It's the one green thing. If it's the right kind of peas, I can sort of do it. But I usually mix carrots, peas, and sweet corn together. Mm. Yeah, I don't think I can come up with a fifth vegetable, sorry.
I might struggle for five, but onions?
Onions, yeah. Onions.
Onions, love onions.
Perfect.
Everything in the Allen family, garlic,
leeks. No, there's some, leeks and things I don't like.
You don't like leeks?
If you go too, there's that end of the spectrum, I sort of lose it a bit. But garlic.
Onions, spinach.
I suppose garlic, yeah.
Cabbage. Asparagus and Swedes.
No, I don't like Swedes.
Swedes,
either.
Love a Swede.
Yeah, the whole root vegetable thing kind of just—I don't like that twang of the root vegetable thing. I can live with carrots are all right, but you can cook them in a way that probably makes them palatable to me quite easily. But like, just as
and Swedes, I don't like turnips. I like Swedes. Swedes are nicer. They're sweeter and more sort of flavoursome. Whereas turnips, the ones I can't stand, like celery is.
Love celery.
It's like burnt plastic. Like, I think I'm just tasting it different to other people because I think
that's what it is with certain things for me. I just I was saying to Chris that the other thing for me is this is almost certainly an autistic thing, is the reason I don't like things like broccoli or cauliflower is it's two different things.
It's like
a fluffy thing and then a stemmy thing. And it's like, no, that's not right. So I will actually have the fluffy bits of broccoli, the top bits, in soup.
Yeah,
that's fine. But the actual stemmy bits, I don't like. It feels like that.
Does that also
be
apply to cauliflower?
Yeah, no, I don't like cauliflower at all. No.
I've recently warmed. I never liked cauliflower, but the vegetables that I don't, apart from celery, which is repulsive, the vegetables that I don't like, I try every, 6 months or so.
I was going to say, I might try something.
It does change
again,
over time.
Yeah.
And this year, or last year, I started liking cauliflower. I like cauliflower.
There's so much you can do with cauliflower, right? So what is interesting to do with cauliflower is, so you boil the cauliflower. Well, to each their own. But
don't lie.
So you just give it a bit of a parboil is the cauliflower, and then you cut it up, stick it on a roasting tray or in the air fryer, and then blast it with paprika and maybe some barbecue type stuff. Give it a good old roasting. Wow, it's lovely.
I would add cheese to that, but
you could add cheese. You know why not? Yeah.
Another one I can't stand: bell peppers. I cannot eat bell peppers.
Oh, I love bell peppers.
Foul, absolutely foul. My dad would just eat green like chili peppers, like a jalapeno. Whatever. Well, love
do you know
them.
That love all of those peppers. Are only one color?
Yeah, it's just
it just changes for rightness. And jalapenos go red eventually, and they're quite nice, but it is a different, it's a kind of different flavor. So I like jalapenos either way, because I've grown them myself either way. But peppers, it's funny. I'm somebody I know doesn't eat green ones. Yeah, so it's always
the green ones are the worst. My dad would just munch on the green ones, and I'm like,
they're just a bit sharp, bit sharp.
Again, it's just they taste
like
ripe. They are,
again, it's a burnt flavor to me. They taste like burnt soil.
Mm. Okay,
I get that. The soiliness of some vegetables puts me off. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
generally, I don't like crunchy. I don't like, with the exception of like onion. And probably a few others. Like, I don't like crunchy vegetables. Like lettuce on a sandwich, fine. But I think this might be an autistic. It's a texture thing. Crunchy meat, good. Crunchy animal things, good. Crunchy plants, disgusting.
Bad.
With the exception of onion. Like a cheese and onion sandwich, beautiful.
Onions, I want to get like a brulee gun, or a brulee torch, so that you can put onions on top of things and then
cannibalize them instantly.
Yeah.
No, there's something nice about the raw crunchy onion though, especially with cheese. That perfect with cheese.
It does, or the pickled onions, the little.
I love pickled onions. Yeah.
What's your favorite pickled item? Is it pickled onions?
Pickled onions, I think. Yeah.
Not pickled eggs or.
I like a pickled egg.
Anything. But they're very dry. They're the outside's very enticing. It's like, and you've got the vinegar in it, and then you bite into it, and it's like, it goes all dry suddenly. It's like
texture thing.
Yeah. I like gherkins.
I don't know what was
pickled chilies.
Yeah, pickled chilies. Gherkin, right? This is funny. because I've been meeting up with various people lately after mum's death, and you know, some friends have been around and family and stuff, we've been to a few different places to eat. And there was one place where they had gherkins at the, you know, in the salad or whatever, and they were just, I don't know what was different about them. It was just, it was still a pickled gherkin, and it was still like sliced the same way and everything, but it was like, it was, you know how you get them and they're mushy and they're not nice when they get mushy?
Mm-hmm.
But when they're really crunchy, they can be a bit harsh. It was like somewhere in between, and it was like these.
In between is the best.
It's like, but these gherkins have just hit a perfect spot, and I should have asked them what brand they were or something, because it's like, fucking what? These are just perfect, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird.
I like pickled beetroot.
I like beetroot.
I don't like beetroot.
Beetroot's one of those weird things that I hadn't had for years. I used to, it was one of those things that was always around when I was a kid.
Yeah,
pickled beetroot was like a condiment on the table and things.
School dinners. It was in school dinners. Dinners,
yeah, probably, yeah. Mm.
Well, it's so easy to grow here. Like in the apocalypse, pickled beetroot is probably going to be a bit of a lifeline.
I don't hate it, so I could say, in an apocalypse situation, I'd eat it, but I'm not a fan.
I mean, you could cook it, you could roast it after you've pickled it.
I think actually, for somebody, because I think I'm generally, as a kid, I didn't like vegetables. Like, I was one of those kids who, you know, I don't like, I'd eat some vegetables, but generally speaking, I don't really like vegetables.
Yeah, as a kid,
I still generally don't. But I think it's like, weirdly, I think it's the more flavoursome ones that I like. The ones that kids that like spinach, cabbage, you know, onions, those are the ones that I like the most. The ones with more flavour. The ones with, to me, like beetroot doesn't have a ton of flavour.
It has an
essence. I like it less. And carrots as well. Carrots are quite bland.
No, I love carrots. Carrots is, if you say to me, I had to, out of those vegetables we listed it.
I can eat carrots.
Potatoes. I couldn't do without potatoes, but carrots, I really do like. But the thing is, the vegetables that I do like are all the ones that really aren't that good for you. Carrots and sweet corn, particularly potatoes. They're not that good for you in comparison to
potatoes. Potatoes good. Potatoes got a ton of vitamins.
Yeah, yeah, not vitamin, but you know, it's a lot of starch as well. You know, carbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what's your favorite vegetable tier list in the? Sorry, my arm is fading out. I've lost my arm.
You need to point that way from me. No, the other side.
Also, while pissing, I had an
right side.
I had an expense realization while pissing. Would you like it?
Go for it.
Okay, so this season, right, if you just watch that conversation between Ashford and Marco and the bit with Ashford, Marco, and Drummer, if you just watch those two scenes, you can skip the rest of this entire season and nothing changes for the next season.
Sadly, true.
Nothing else continues on to the next season.
Yeah, I have to be honest. We can't give you spoilers for anything else apart from the Marco stuff from this series. There's no...
Nothing.
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're on
one thing that I think might be interesting. Well, there's two little character bits that I think are worth mentioning. One that I think you would right. Where is it? I'm just trying to find the get the names right.
I kind of want to talk more about vegetables. Should we do a vegetable podcast?
Well, no, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to talk to vegetables that much.
That's the thing, though. It's like space vegetables. And it's like
I was going to talk about. That is actually the bit I did want to talk about, and I've lost the bloody thing. Is it when Alex is trying to cheer up? Is Alex trying to cheer up Lucia? Yes, it is. Yeah, so Alex, Lucia is looking at the Rocinante's plants that they've got growing on the hydroponics or whatever.
Prax panels.
And that's it. Yeah, yeah. So you get a call back to Prax. Because she said it reminded her of Ganymede. And Alex says, oh, yeah, it's someone from Ganymede that set all this up for us. And he's gone back to Ganymede to help rebuild. So I thought you'd appreciate the little Prax flashback. Reference, rather.
I do appreciate the Prax reference and the Prax panels.
I miss Prax. And do you know what? I was thinking while watching this episode... I really miss Admiral Souther.
Well, Souther's dead.
He wasn't in it that much.
He was good, though. He was a good character.
He was a great character. Really good actor, yeah. Just acted that
and
role.
And Spy, to be honest.
Yeah, Spy. And the Spy as well. Yeah, yeah. Spy's cool.
Yeah. And But of course, Miller, like to be honest, a little bit of Miller would have probably helped this series.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember, but I assume he's just not showing up for story reasons right now.
Yes.
Is he's very regular.
Is he chasing
elk through the Siberian wasteland now, sure.
Yeah.
I love an elk. That's a good vegetable.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon I don't know if there is a podcast about vegetables though.
There probably is. With very boring people
eating them, not like growing them or anything. Just
Yeah. So, like, basically,
I was going to rag on Alex a bit there. Actually, there you go.
I would come up with a recipe, a very easy to do, quick recipe to cook a vegetable, and then you
and
guys
then make it and tell me what we think.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I might
or
be
you
set
come around and cook
I might
it for
be
us,
set up
better.
For that. Yeah, you come around to it. Yeah.
So I got to drive both to Stafford and Bath or whatever.
Otherwise, I do my best approximation. It's like, well, I've got crisps and tea, so I'll put the crisps in the tea. I'm giving that a go.
Put it
not,
in the microwave.
Not the biggest fan. This is a terrible recipe.
How nutritional are crisps? Probably not very, are they?
No. Not very bad for you. They're awful. No. Yeah.
It's just they've taken all the goodness of the potato is gone.
They'd probably be better because they've gone to like healthier fats. They'd probably be better if they were back like animal fat. Mind you, we've got animal fat and carbs then, which isn't great. But yeah, I've been eating. I didn't eat crisps for many years, and then recently I've been having crisps again. I've decided to stop having them just because they are. I love crisps, but as a treat. And I think if I have them all the time, they stop being a treat.
Yeah.
And
also, like with crisps, I have a bag, and then I'm like, I just want more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just, And they leave my mouth very dry, very unpleasantly dry. And also, I think they've made them lower sodium and stuff, and they just taste worse than they used to as well. They used to taste a lot better when they had actual fucking salt in them.
I'm just thinking about this episode and how much stuff there is about Marco that they just don't push properly. And that's why, they could have been doing so much more, as you say, having the third.
Well, the fact that, and you can't say this of any other season, but the fact that everything apart from what those 5 minutes you get with Marco in this season, everything else is throwaway as far as the broader plot is concerned. That's fine having a story on, but it's not a very interesting story on its own either.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. Oh man, I was worried that when we were going to get to this point, it was going to start just to be like,
sag. Yeah, it gets better again, though. It does get better again.
Yeah. Well, look, we've got 3 episodes left. I mean, do we want to take them one on one, or do we just want to? We could blast them out.
Given, usually I'm against it, but given how little we're actually finding to talk about in each episode, maybe we watch the next 3 and that's all in one, and then we can get on to with the next season.
Yeah, I could go with that. I'm usually against it as well, but I think
I want to get this season
because
just
the story.
Out of the
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Mm. The story. Okay. If you're sitting watching the whole thing one episode after the other, it's actually not bad.
Yeah,
but if you take it one at a time and chop it up, then it feels like nothing happens.
They might have given less thought to what they do in each episode, and they might have just planned the episode as if it was like a 10 episode long story.
Yeah, it's a planned story that way.
I agree. It watches better if you binge it. It does. Because there's so little to care about, you need that momentum going into the next one.
Exactly. Yeah, because I did start watching this series 4, and I did go ahead a bit, and I was like, I better stop this. I shouldn't be doing this. But it is more interesting that way.
It's better
like,
to watch that way.
For example, from the end of 2 episodes ago, we got the island exploding. I mean, this exciting stuff happens in it. It's like, fucking hell, an island's just exploded. There's a huge weather front coming around the whole planet. You know, there's so much excitement. But
and also,
if
actually,
you take
one,
a wee break
thing...
in it for 5 minutes and then slow the episode down again. It just doesn't work.
Well, one thing about this that I think is absolutely really missed a trick, like really, really missed a trick, is the, in the with Avastrella and the election. How exciting they could have made that, because it seems
could have done like, so much more with that as well. Yeah,
it seems like
that could have been the third part as well. You know, that could have been the third part. Like, no, it's not. It's a sort of background.
The way that they do it is Avastrella does something, the news reacts, she reacts to the news. Next bit.
Yeah. So it's also on top of that, that's exactly right. But on top of that, it's also very, like I say, very sort of superficial, like the barest minimum you can get away with and call it political drama. Like, your advisors are trying to make you the cardboard cutout politician, but you've got personality. Oh, okay, yeah.
She should be up there doing stump speeches, like, hear a few of those. You know, she should be, like doing a John Prescott, getting some scraps, you know? Like... You know,
milkshakes thrown at her.
Thrown at her, you know, some actual more like Loose Women TV interview kind of stuff.
She should go on Oprah, or whatever the equivalent of Oprah is.
Go on Oprah. Loose Women is our equivalent of Oprah, isn't it?
Well, over in the
space equivalent.
I meant the space equivalent in the future. Equivalent. You know, in the future. Space
Right, yeah.
Space Oprah.
Like,
it would be Opiera. No.
Yeah. You know, we could see her in proper debates rather than just the posturing ones, you know.
Yeah. Well, the debate was probably the high point of what
we've
seen.
Yeah, the debate was
that.
Actually vaguely interesting. Yeah.
Great, but it was better than the rest. Yeah. Which all feels very.
Because it was actually their two personalities coming out.
Yeah.
Instead of just like showing without, you know, showing but not telling sort of thing.
But also, like, I would like to see more of the opponent as well. Like, what's her name?
Nancy Gow.
Nancy Gow, yeah, like she seemed kind of interesting and cool, yeah. Like,
yeah,
I'd love to have seen.
Because, but that, see, again, this is much like the other story threads and the exciting action pieces and stuff. The fact that we think she's one thing and she turns out to have a, you know, an answer for it all at the debate before the emergency shuts the debate down. You know, there's loads of things there, and it's just, it's like they've put it all together in a weird way, this series. They've had all the bits there, but they've just not.
Do you think they had to write it in a hurry or something?
Or they had too long, because they had 18 months between the end of Series 3 and...
Well, they had 18 months, but maybe they didn't know they were commissioned until, like,
quite late on. Yeah, but they were still writing the next book. I think the books are written separately from the series.
I can easily imagine the books being infinitely better than this series, though. The problem doesn't necessarily seem to be...
Yeah, I think Sebulaburn, the book, is actually better than the series Sebulaburn. Yeah. I have to say, it's a weird...
Was the book written for TV?
No.
No, they don't write the books like that. They write the books as the books. And then the two guys that write the books don't control the entire writer's room for the TV thing. They've learned about TV writing as they've gone on, basically. They still write the books the way they wrote them as individual books. And then they've got a big writer's room, and they trust certain people to do certain things, you know, to hear them, like amalgamating characters or bringing a character in earlier and making them have parts of other stuff, you know, other storylines or whatever.
Yeah,
because they're not TV, right? They've learned a lot about it as they've you know, Ty talks of that and the Ty and that guy thing. But he says he was never, you know, he wasn't a TV writer. Then, you know, they weren't intending to write the TV show at all. But obviously they learned more about it and got more involved with the production as it went on and stuff. But the hang on. How many books? The fifth novel in the Expanse series is Nemesis Games. And Gods of Risk is a novella. Yeah, so they do shorter stories in between as well as the main books. And this... I mean, they've always done that, so it's not even how they've done it. Because, you know, the previous series... did your story thread centered around a set one book or whatever and had little extra bits from the novellas, because like some of the background character stuff, like the you know, events that get talked about but never shown in the series, like battles and things like that they talk about, like who was it that they show you Fred Johnson's one, or at least a bit of it. They show you the important part of it, but that was a novella separately from the main stories, I believe. Fred Johnson as the butcher of Anderson Station or whatever it was. That's like a novella separately. So all those things, you know, they bring in all this stuff, but there's no difference in how it's just how it's. I don't know if it's how it's edited, how it's paced, how it's.
I think what it feels like is they wanted, like, a reset between what's gone before and what's coming next, like a season that was away from everything. And I keep going back to the first season. Well, a bit more of a bit like building up, more like the first season. But it doesn't work as that.
It doesn't build the characters up the same way. You don't get to know them or anything. It's
Well.
I'm going to have a quick look at the very short synopsis of the next three episodes.
I don't want to put anybody off it. It's still decent.
Don't give up on it. Binge series 4 if you're going to watch it. Basically, it's the best thing.
Because even when they were doing the Marines breaching into the ship, it kind of felt like that could have even been more interesting. Like when they do it with the Rosnanti people, that is gripping and interesting, and you get to see things more measured. This, you see four points of view on a screen. Oh, it's a trap.
Yeah, there's kind of a callback to the lieutenant's view from the
could ABC literally
aliens.
Have done,
you know,
they could have done so much more with that. They could have had almost an entire episode on the breach.
Because it's broadened because
they could
with the breach. I don't really know why they're doing that. What the stakes are? What they're trying to accomplish? What they think they're getting out of it?
Is what I'm saying is we've had to examine that and find and work it out for ourselves all the way through this series 4.
Oh, I've got a phone call, so I'm just going to take that.
Dick. Imagine taking a phone call in the middle of an episode. What's that? How unprofessional is that?
He's failed our test. This is secretly our favourite season.
Yeah. He's not defending
He's fallen into the trap. He's not defending it.
He's screwed up.
It's clearly the best season.
I'm just quickly looking at the short synopsis for the next three episodes. This is part of the problem as well. The sort of one paragraph, three or four sentence synopses of each episode literally tells you everything you really need to know. Because there's not enough nuance in the episode itself.
That definitely isn't the case. You can't do that with any episode from particularly, you certainly can't do that with every episode from previous seasons.
My microphone appears to be noisy. That's because I coughed in it. Sorry. I'm just looking in. I don't see any reason not to binge the last three episodes and talk about them together.
I think we should do that.
We should probably have done that like this whole series in a few chunks.
Three chunks. I think Chris actually did suggest that a couple of episodes in, and we
but he suggested he was suggesting that earlier as well when we were on series, because he wanted to get on with it, you know.
He did specifically suggest it for this season, and I think I expected to enjoy it more than I have even. I think it's even less enjoyable than I remembered it to be.
Yeah.
Particularly, like you say, watching it punctuated. I think I've always binged it before, which does improve it.
Which makes it slightly better,
Because it is about,
feels a little, you get a little bit of momentum again.
Yeah.
Incidentally, this entire series was released in one day, and it was my birthday in 2019.
Really?
Series 4 was released, yes.
That's nice. That's a long fucking time ago, isn't it?
Yeah. I would have been. I'd still be in my 40s, basically, somewhere. So they've got the episodes that are left. I don't, obviously Chris could see this, so I don't want to spoil it for him.
It's not a ton to spoil in this season. I mean, it's not like you know the goodies are going to win.
Yeah, you know the goodies are going to win, and you know that. I mean, I think I'll type something to you, and I think I'm going to suggest that this. Well, I'll tell you. I'll type it. Sorry, folks. This is watching people type now. It's, yeah, I don't want to say it out loud. It's just difficult to say without saying it. See if that makes sense to you.
I thought he was.
No. Yeah, I mean.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of an anticlimax. That
it's unsatisfying. For
unsatisfying.
Sure.
Well, that's it.
We're talking about the resolution with Murphy. I think that's
Murphy.
The bit
that I suggested is what I didn't want to say out loud for Chris in case he heard it when he watched the video.
Part of the problem with Murtry, and I'm aware Chris is back, so that's fine. Part of the problem with Murtry is I don't really care about, like, I don't. He's a hateable character, but I don't care about the situation enough to hate him. I don't really care whether he gets his comeuppance or not. This is a side story. This is not the stuff I'm interested in.
No. And also, especially off the back of 1,300 new habitable worlds, and this is the most exciting.
Exactly,
got.
Yeah. This is why the next series. This is why the next series really makes up for it, because I'm not going to spoil or anything, but the next series features more. You know, there's at least one planet anyway, isn't it? Is it one more planet they go to or something, or is there multiple?
I think that might be the next season.
No. The next.
Is it not?
No, the last one is the.
I can't tell what your mouth is.
Hang on. Wait, let's make sure. Maybe I'm wrong then.
I thought the next season was.
No, I think you're talking about. Well, I think.
No, that... I think it's the other way around.
Oh.
I think. I hope.
Right, hang on. I'm just going to have to. I'm going to have to go to series 5 synopsis.
You okay, Chris?
Yep. Sorry, I just got a big telephone call. Some big news. Good news.
Good news.
But
good news.
Excellent.
Okay. Good.
Good news. But if I'm weirdly quiet for the rest, I got some.
I was going to say. I think we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's more to talk about with this episode. I think we binge the next three, and then we do one, and then we can get back to good expense.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that sounds good. Yeah,
because
these
episodes have been. I mean, because we usually what we do is we do them quite quickly. We have been doing them in chunks quite quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's been enough in the episode to talk about that. Even with a few tangents, it's still been an entertaining episode. But I feel like we're like searching for the tangents now because we're not getting springboarded from the episodes themselves, you know?
Yeah, and also a large chunk of this episode is us talking about why we didn't really like it or why it didn't
episode,
get it.
Yeah. So and we can only do that. I think we keep doing that as well. That's probably 20 minutes of every fucking episode this season is like why it's not very good.
Yeah. So let's do that then. Let's bench through 8, 9, and 10 and do that as a mega episode, maybe a longer space.
Chris, say something funny for Hamish to end on.
Yeah.
Stick a turnip up your rump.
Oh.
Nah, I'm not.
No.
No, that was too forced.